The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
All right, you've made it to the weekend. It is 5 o'clock. We're getting set for Bears and Packers. Driving up to Lambeau Sunday afternoon. Cannot wait. It's been about a decade since I was last at Lambeau Field.
Is that the game where Jay pushed his tackle and you were sitting near the Cutler family?
I was sitting with the Cutler family, and it was fourth quarter after he had just thrown his fourth pick. And
Jamarcus Webb. Was he the focal point of Jay's frustration?
Not after the fourth. That was earlier in the game, okay. But right after the fourth, and they didn't have a chance. I said to Allie, "I go, let's go." I think I've told Tirico this story too. I go, "Let's go. It's time to go." And she turns around and she looks at me. She goes, "Don't we have to say goodbye?" I go, "No, let's go. Like, leave them alone. Their son just threw his fourth interception. Let's just Houdini this thing and get out." And we did.
I think I would have taken Allie's advice and said, you know, done the polite thing and said goodbye.
There was lots of anger. There was anger. There was anger that day. Let's talk to Mike Tirico. He's got the call on NBC.
He loves a good Cutler conversation as well.
It is a quota. We always have to bring up Cutler once per every Mike Tirico interview. Mike, how you feeling today?
You know, Nance has coined the line tradition unlike any other, and that's the Masters. For Jim, it's Augusta. For me, it's you guys and Jay Cutler. This is a great life I'm living. Thanks,
How blessed are you?
Happy Friday and happy hour to you two as well.
Yes.
Hey, doing well, and thank you as always for joining us. By the way, have you thrown in a well-being check on Chris and see how his voice is?
So Chris is here. He is here with me in Green Bay. His voice is improved.
Excellent.
Very, very, very good news. I hate to ruin the suspense for Sunday. We may build a big audience right at the top of the game just to hear Chris's voice. But he is on the mend and doing better. I was afraid I was going to have to go into the Vince Scully baseball mode where I'd have to do the game by myself there at some point in the second half. But Chris worked through. He's fine, healthy, no positive tests. All negative, so he's feeling good. We're all feeling good.
And excellent.
Ready for Bears Packers number what? 205, I guess it is, if we throw in the playoff game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I guess you didn't hear about this story. We played it earlier. No, Erin Andrews, on her way from Green Bay, on her way from Chicago to Green Bay last week, was on a Zoom call with Greg Olson, Kevin Burkhart, and Aaron Rodgers, and she heard snoring. And it was from her driver, from the car service, who had fallen asleep, and she had to wake him up while they were going 65. I told a story earlier, Mike, when I was covering the Bears beat once in Green Bay. Mark Hatley was in his room, and they double booked his room, and one of the reporters walked in on Mark Hatley. You've traveled across the country as an NFL play-by-play man. Yeah. You're sitting in Green Bay. Do you have a weird on-the-road story?
Wow. No drivers have fallen asleep on me, you know, other than some planes, trains, and automobiles. No. I had an NBA game where I had somebody who wanted to fight me because they were sure that it was my room. They kept pounding on the door. No, I've been here for – it was in L.A., and now that I think about it, I had like a Clipper, Laker, Wednesday, Friday, some double dip of some sort. And this person is pounding on my door. Like, this is my room. I'm like, I'm not answering. So, like, finally I come to the door and the person misread the room number. They were like in 619 and I was in 819, whatever the heck it was. But they were insistent on that and they just sheepishly walked away. Didn't say sorry. That's the best I could do for you. I haven't had anybody fall asleep on me going 65.
Good thing. Were you angered by this? Were you concerned? Were you terrified? What was your emotion?
I was slightly terrified, but I was a bit angered because I was taking my NBA nap. Because, as you know, the NBA, one of the great things of the league is you take a nap in the afternoon since you're going to be awake at 8 o'clock till 10:30 and then go out to dinner, which is like or take a red eye or something, whatever you're going to do. So the NBA was very conducive to get up early, work out, shoot around, nap, lunch, nap, back to work, do the game, rinse and repeat. So it was during the NBA naps. It was not a good, nice. Not a good time.
Hey, we make fun of our friends to the north at times, and usually it's because we have an inferiority complex because they've dominated this series. But truly, you go to all of these stadiums. The experience, and Sylvie will be there Sunday night, the experience at Lambeau is really unique and really cool, is it not?
It's so great. The people are really, really nice. I'll never forget leaving the game. There was a time we stayed at a hotel that was within walking distance of Lambeau, and I was with Gruden, and John's like, hey, come on, we'll walk down. And we walked down, and people offered us brats and beers after the game. Come hang with us. And we did. Yeah. We had a beer and a brat with them and walked back the rest of the way to the hotel. It's just so cool. I know it's the neighborhood, and a lot of the houses in the neighborhood here, I no longer have the original residence because people have bought them for tailgating purposes. They've built that entire, you know, Title Town district around it, so it doesn't have the same neighborhood feel that it once had 30 years ago, but it's still a really cool place. When you think about the size of the city, you know, just over 100,000 or so, it's the same size as South Bend. It's the same size as Ann Arbor, Michigan. And here you have a football team that's been here for a century, and it is the defining thing of a town. I actually did something I've never done before for this game. I traveled into Green Bay from the north. We have a place that we spend our summers in northern Michigan, and I drove through the Upper Peninsula and came down into Green Bay from Michigan. Wow. First time I did it, it was great. It was whitefish to be had all throughout the UP. It was fabulous. As soon as I crossed over the Mackinac Bridge into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I called Izzo and Mariucci because those two guys are from Iron Mountain, the same town. And Izzo, Mariucci was like in heaven. He was just like off the charts. Like, oh my God, Packers, Bears, and you're in the UP and you're calling me. This is just great. And it was a blast. So that was my experience for this weekend, my full Midwestern experience for this weekend.
Yeah, that is awesome. Waddle and I were talking that we have, like, at least from my standpoint, I have no idea what could happen. We're not used to seeing the Packers look the way they did last week, and the Bears really did a nice job of overcoming that terrible first half. What are you expecting?
Yeah, you know, it's a great way to kind of capsulize the game. I don't know what the Bears are. I really don't. You know, the offense wasn't very good. It was good enough. The defense was good. I have no idea if that is Trey Lance, the rain, probably both. But I do think the Bears have the seeds of a really good defense. The hustle is there. The effort is there. You just get a good feeling around what Matt Eberflus is going to build. Is there enough talent there to keep maintain this for 17 weeks? I don't know, but I know the effort's going to be there. So I feel better about the Bears maybe than I thought I would. Now, can they score enough points? That's going to be a big question. I want to see Fields on a dry track against a good defense. The Niners' defense is good, but that game, that was one of the odder games I've ever seen. Flow, rhythm, how it flipped. You thought the Bears could stay out there for nine quarters and not scored, and all of a sudden, then they scored 19 points, should have been 21. Packers, on the other hand, they'll be better. I think Minnesota, with a new staff, got them with some wrinkles. Their defense had a few busts in coverage that you wouldn't expect from a good player like Jair Alexander. I don't think Green Bay's offense is going to carry them, which we're so used to. I think their defense might be the unit that stabilizes this team until the young receivers get going on offense. So having said all that, I agree with your headline. Really hard to get a feel and a read for this one, because the results in week one for both teams were really unique and hard to really extrapolate from.
Mike, I described the Bears and week one was, look, they had 204 yards of total offense. You're not going to win many games accumulating that number. Right. But you're also not going to lose a lot of games in the NFL when you commit three penalties for 24 yards. You only lose it once and you win the turnover battle. So that's why I think that this team, while they're devoid of some talent, they're disciplined and they'll be competitive. But on the other side, when you speak, I don't know if you guys have had your production meetings yet with Aaron and with LaFleur and others. What kind? And you guys probably read body language and presentation as well as anybody. If you've had those meetings, what kind of feeling or vibe are you getting from them about their team?
We were over there. I just got back to the hotel about 20 minutes ago. Just left the Packers practice and meeting with Aaron and Matt LaFleur, a couple other guys. You know, I think it is not pushing the panic button, but I think it's understanding what they have right now, and that is two inexperienced wide receivers and questions up front. And there are still guys who are questionable injury status-wise for the weekend on their offensive front. You know, you throw that at the end of the game, you got Christian Watson, rookie receiver out there, Romeo Doubs, rookie receiver out there, and you had a couple of different offensive linemen with not that much experience. Zach Tom was another draft pick of theirs. You know, Jake Hansen was playing guard. He's in his second year. He only played six snaps the year before. The center only had one start last year because he was out with a knee injury. So you look around, all of a sudden, you've got a lot of inexperience on that team. Surprisingly, all quickly on the offensive side of the ball. So I think there is not a panic, but an uncertainty as to when they'll get veterans back, when the light goes on for some of the young guys, and maybe more importantly, the offense is not going to be
right.
35, 40 points a game. They may be 21, 22, something like that for the next month or so until these receivers start to come. I think Christian Watson's going to be good. I think Doubs is going to be good. I just think they need a little bit of time right now to get there. So there's uncertainty, but there's not panic. It's just right. that things are going to be a little different, at least in the first half of the season for these guys.
It's interesting because obviously last year they got boat raced by the Saints and then they won 13 in a row or whatever. But you said you can feel like it's a little different. Their posture's a little different because their team is different than last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, we talk about the Bears, and my gosh, they've got as many first-year players and rookies as any team, more than any other team in the NFL. The Packers don't have that same volume, but you start looking at the spots. Like I said, the guys who were playing, you know, Royce Newman was out there, second-year, fourth-round pick. Three or four of the offensive linemen were second- or third-year guys without a ton of experience, and Watson and Doubs, like we've talked about. Now, there is experience, and I think getting Allen Lazard back, which they hope to get this week, with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and Allen Lazard and Robert Tonyan is coming back off of his ACL and Randall Cobb, all of a sudden now I think you might see those veteran guys start to play a keener role in the offense through this adjustment stretch while the young receivers come along.
Our friend Mike Tirico joining us. It's Waddle and Silvey on ESPN 1000. Mike's got the call on Sunday Night Football for Bears and Packers. Look, I know we tend to drink the Kool-Aid, especially at the beginning of a season, but we like, at least most Bears fans, like the way Ryan Poles has done this so far. Mm-hmm. You mentioned all the young players, and in the first game, they're playing them. It looks like this coaching staff knows how to develop some players. It's very, very early, but at least they're not halfwaying this thing, Mike, and playing just like a replacement-level veterans. They're going with the youngsters, and they're hoping they could turn into good players to build from there.
Well, let's just start in the NFL right now, where quarterbacks are the guys who win games, dynamic passing games. So that means you need to cover in the back end a little bit. And I know a lot of folks are very high on Jalen Johnson, and I think we've seen that, a good turnover force last week. Eddie Jackson has been an all-pro. Can he get back to his playmaking capabilities? Brisker and Gordon, the two rookies, the two second-round picks. I was on with you guys after the draft, and it was like, well, no, they're not taking offense here. Matt Eberflus went on his side of the ball, and those guys are in the starting lineup. They're going to make mistakes, but they also made a bunch of good plays on Sunday. So add that to Roquan Smith. Nick Morrow coming in very solid, wearing the green dot, calling things. We know the season Robert Quinn had last year. You get some effort plays from other guys. I don't think any of us had Dominic Robinson coming up with a sack and a half and a couple of hits in the quarterback in his first game. So you start to look around now and go, okay, that's pretty good. I know the Niners and I had a dynamic passing game. The weather was garbage, but that's a good team that was in the NFC Championship game, and you kept them off the scoreboard other than a few drives. Once you got the field flipped, you never let them get it back. So, yes, I love what I see to start. It feels like a foundation's in place to build something properly and the right way. And it's not maybe about the record this year, but it's about, okay, what guys do we have here that can carry on to next year? I'm not going to throw away the season just yet or take away hopes, but I feel good about it.
Mike, do you feel like you've got a good idea who Justin Fields is going to be, or is there's just there's not enough evidence yet to come to any type of conclusion?
Not enough evidence. Yeah. Not enough evidence. Now, here's what I do know. I know when he gets, you know, near the numbers and the outside, out of the pocket, I would say, but really when he gets out near the numbers or beyond or outside the numbers, I feel like it's a different guy.
Yes.
I feel like he's freed up. It's almost like he's in a free space where your parents aren't watching you, right, and you can go out and just do what you want, you know? Body language, decision-making, confidence, athletic ability, all that stuff. So how much will he be out of that pocket? That doesn't mean he's not going to be or isn't a good quarterback in the pocket. He's developing in there, right? And you know, the one thing I asked all the Packers folks today was about Luke Getsy. Because Luke Getsy, as many of you listeners know, was here the last 3 years as the quarterback coach. And boy, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur had such positive things to say about Getsy and about a great guy for Justin Fields because he played the position in college because he'll get him to good fundamentals and all these different little small things that add up to be the big things. We don't know if these quarterbacks are going to hit unless they come out and wow you like Mahomes did, like Herbert did. But we can start to see growth steps. And I think if I'm watching the Bears for the next 6-7 weeks, I want to see Justin Fields continue to grow. So it might not be the numbers, but it's what he's doing. And I think he's surrounded by a really good coach. And if that defense stays good, that gives him a chance to slowly evolve and not be playing from a 17-point hole in the second quarter. Because that just stunts the growth of a quarterback significantly, in my opinion.
Yep. Mike Tirico joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Mike, you know what else we like about the way they have it set up for the Bears? We watched Nathaniel Hackett do what he did on Monday. And we're like, boy, this is a guy who's never called plays with the Packers. You know, you were just referencing Getsy and stuff. Those guys are sitting behind a really good head coach. And he's never been a head coach. And he's trying to do both. And now all of a sudden he's trying to manage the clock. And it's a really hard thing. We like that Eberflus is not calling the defense. He's presiding over the team. And then he's got Alan Williams. And then he's got Luke Getsy. And they're doing their thing. And right now, like, we thought Nagy was overloaded too much. Is he going to call plays? Is he not going to call plays? Right. He's got to be a head coach. We like the way things are set up. And it's just another positive vibe that we have.
It's not for everyone. The ability to call plays and be the head coach and manage the game. Sometimes guys give it up. Sometimes guys do it. They wonder, what do I do now? How do I stay involved? Good for Matt Eberflus. And I think the important thing was, in Alan Williams, he had a guy that he was very familiar with, very comfortable with, who had been a defensive coordinator before. So he had all those things going for him. And maybe he felt this confidence that I can turn the defense over to him, stay as involved on that side as I am on the offensive side, and still feel like my team will be represented by that defense. Because at the end of the day, you don't want somebody else's defense to be the thing that defines your one shot as a head coach, or maybe your first or second shot. You want to make sure that what you do best is what this team is. And I think we saw the trademarks and the traits of the Indianapolis defense in the Bears' defense last week. Now, let's see if it carries over on the road against, you know, as good a quarterback as any of us will see in our lifetime and all that other stuff at Lambeau on Sunday Night Football. Let's see how the defense does here at that next test and then continue to grow. But I agree with you, and that's exactly the point with Nathaniel. Nathaniel Hackett knows that calling timeout was probably the best move there. He also knows what he really wanted to do, but sometimes it's happening way too fast in both regards, as a play caller and as a head coach. The move there is take the timeout, hold the clock. You can still go for it on fourth down, but you got time to make a decision, get to the right play. And with two timeouts and a minute or so left, you're on the edge, as you saw a field goal range. You're fine. So good for Matt for doing it. I'm going to agree with you guys.
Mike, before we let you go, you're Mr. Syracuse. You're a guy who's done it all, Monday Night Football, now Sunday Night Football. Told us about the NBA, the Olympics. You know broadcasting. How do you feel about streaming all these games?
It's a different experience. I'll give you a for instance. I'm traveling last night, and there's no access to Amazon Prime Video in my room. So I'm watching the game on my iPad. We eventually found a restaurant around the corner from us that had it on, and we went there and watched. But I couldn't listen to the game, right, which is a bummer because I wanted to hear Alan, especially Kirk, who's one of my dearest friends. But this is just the way of the world. You know, us older guys have to figure it out. I'll tell you a funny story, though. So the Amazon Prime account in our house is in my wife's name. So, of course, I've got the password. I go in, I put the password in, and it's like, oh, we've sent you a code. Of course, we all get there.
You got to text your wife, Yes, right. I know. Yeah.
The code gets sent. So I call. So my wife is laughing. She's like, okay, so you're telling me now that many of us have the power to decide if our husband's going to watch this game
Absolutely.
Or not. Yes. We're going to give him the code or not. So it's different. It's where the money is, so it's where this thing is going. The broadcast looked really good. You know, I've heard people have some audio issues, whatever. They'll sort that out. Too many smart people. So we'll get there. We'll figure out a way. But it's a different time. So it's the price of business right now in sports, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. After, just like you did with Gruden, after the game, we expect you to stop by the Tundra Trio, right, in the shadows of Lambeau and have a beer with us after the game, okay?
Sure. Why the heck not? I'm not flying out to mid-morning, so I'm happy to do it.
Awesome. Mike, great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you. Have a great game, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
I do have to say, this show has gotten, it's always my favorite show, it's gotten so much better since it's produced by a Syracuse alum.
Yeah, that's true.
So we agree. I just want you guys to
You didn't think it could get any better, and now it has.
Yeah, absolutely. You put the orange in your life, you see what happens, life gets better. Goodbye. Awesome.
Thanks, Mike. There he is. He's the best. One of the best guys around. Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football. Watch him this Sunday. I've got the Bears. Look, I'm in prove-it mode. I hope they cover. I don't think they will, though.
So you got the Bears losing by more than 10.
Yes.
I'm going to pick the Bears to keep it somewhat close. I've got Packers 23-17.
All right. We've got Meller and Tyler. Thank you to them. White Sox baseball coming up next for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
Instant classic.
I am.